Do you know have somebody that's just nuts about Christmas and holidays, and they're very passionate about it? We've got one in our family that starts. Well, it comes October, and next thing you know, it's Christmas time. I mean, she starts decorating the 1st of October for everything. Passionate. Can't wait. And, you know, as you saw here, he kind of got passionate about the Christmas lights and about what it means. And I think a lot of times we do not realize how dispassionate we can become about Christ and His work, and His work for us. Sometimes it's kind of like going to school when you was a kid, and you just went and you just did things because you had to. You really had no care. You didn't really care about it, but you did it. And you knew it was good for you, but you did it anyway. We're finding more and more people's not even doing it anyway. But to be passionate about the church and the work of the church and about what God is doing in your life. In 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, we're going to run across a gentleman who was passionate about his work and about his job. You know, it should be clear to anyone who is attempting to be a Christ follower that God has called every one of us to be engaged in His service in some way. If He saved you, He's got a purpose and a plan for you. And God is looking for people with a full of passion. Christ followers are passionate people. And we should be. We should have a passion for Christ that the world looks and they say, wow, there must be something to this. Too often we take the life-changing grace that's come into our life and we take it lightly. We just say, oh yeah, we were saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And we don't feel or have the passion for what exactly happened to us. Too often we find ourselves resting in the comfort of the grace of God that provides us salvation, and we never allow it to touch others around us. Serving God is much more than just an emotional experience. Serving God is much more than great music and great worship. Serving God is more than reading our Bibles and praying every day. Serving God is more than keeping ourselves unspotted from the culture around us. Serving God is always about others. Always. And God, I believe, is calling this church to another level of walking with Him. I believe God is calling you in your spiritual journey to another level. Maybe you're resting. Sure seems like there's a lot of folks resting right now, taking a break. Maybe you've taken a break for a little bit. Maybe you put your time in and you don't feel it anymore. And you say, well, you know, I don't need to come all the time. I don't need to work all the time. I just need that break. God has no reserve or weekend warriors. It is a battle every day that we get up, that we have to fight Satan. God is looking for people who will serve Him by serving others. And we're going to find that in our passage this morning. It's a rather lengthy passage. Let's look in 2 Kings 2 in verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Don't get these two mixed up. Elijah is the older prophet, and Elisha is the younger prophet. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And so they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And so he answered and he says, yes, I know. Keep silent. And it was so, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. In the next verse, and Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of God and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. This is an incredibly moving passage of Scripture. Because Elisha was passionate about his work and serving his God. And we are called to be a person of people with passion. These lessons are intended to enable us to keep a fire of passion for God that's burning in our lives, in our hearts, and in our ministries. I think the fire goes out sometimes. The first lesson we look at is like Elisha, we must refuse to be distracted. As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. Three times he said that. Three times Elijah tried to send Elisha away. The prophets came out and tried to give him a scourging word, but he would not be distracted by any of it. God had called him on a mission, and he had planned on fulfilling it passionately. It is very easy to get distracted as we're trying to serve God. Every God follower is a missionary. And every missionary has a mission. And this mission gives us intentionality and purpose. In other words, our mission is our focus of our life. It's what gives us meaning and purpose. And the person with a mission doesn't have moments to waste. The projects in school, in work that we are given that are time sensitive. We have that time at Framing. We have to work to get to where it's fulfilled. So you have to ask the question this morning, what is it that God wants you to be passionate about? Look, I don't think that there's a bigger Razorback football fan or Razorback fan ever. You can ask Miss Terry, if I'm having to miss a game for something, I get all kinds of cranky, right? Yeah. And I get excited, and I root for them with a passion. And maybe you have something in your life that you're passionate about. But maybe that passion is put in the wrong place. Maybe we need to be more passionate about opening God's Word and learning more about it. Maybe we need to be more passionate about the praise and the worship of our Almighty God together. Maybe we need to be more passionate about these things. So what are the things in this life that are causing me to be distracted from the mission God has given me? What is it that causes people to get tired of ministry and find it easy to sit on the sidelines? What is it that enables Christ followers to disengage from important ministries that are so needful for others? People can often distract us from being passionate. People can, from our calling. The very people we're trying to help can often drain us of our spiritual passion. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about doing things. We're talking about the Spirit inside of us and of what we're our spirit's passionate for. There are five kinds of people that affect our spiritual passion. The first is a very resourceful people. They ignite our passion. They're the ones that get us going. The head football coach who rallies the troops to make the comeback. The very important people. They share our passion. And then there's a trainable people that when we have passion, they catch our passion. And then there's the very nice people. And they look at you and say, that's nice. You got some great passion, but that's as far as it goes. And then there are the very draining people. The people who when you come in contact with, they just suck the passion right out of you. Sometimes being too busy to take time for spiritual renewal. Jesus understood the principle of being renewed. He modeled the ability to get away from his disciples and spend time alone. Sometimes we got to get away. Sometimes we got to take that time to be alone, to be with him. And if you're going to engage in ministry of any kind, you must understand the importance of spending time with God first. And sometimes we get busy doing God stuff that we forget to take time to keep, you know, to spend time with God ourselves to keep our passion up. Golly, God has given us opportunities to be passionate about his work and his ministry. The second thing we find in this is like Elisha. We can be passionate about our dedication to our calling. Now, Elisha is first mentioned in 1 Kings 19. And he was actually being called into that ministry by Elijah. And from that point on, in the story of Elijah, the old prophet, after he called Elisha, we have no record of Elisha and his work. And it just says he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. It was not to the very end of Elijah's life that we find Elisha showing up. Where was he? Well, he was following. He was learning. He was doing. The thing that I find most fascinating about Elisha's ministry is that he did it with no fanfare. He served a crotchety old prophet who at his best had a nasty disposition. And do a personality profile on Elijah sometime and you'll be fascinated by what you learn. He wasn't easy to get along with. He wasn't easy to work with. Look at 2 Kings 1 and read about his last little bit of work that he carried out. And read and then tell me he'd be easy to be an attendant to. Bad boss. He never included Elisha in any of his exploits. Any of his things we see that he did. At least he didn't include him to the point they received any mention in the story that Elisha was with him. God expects every one of us to serve by serving others. He calls us to serve without recognition. He calls us to serve him because it is right to serve him, not because we get Christ Follower of the Month awards. We do it because we do. We're passionate about our job. I've had lots of jobs, and when I first get a job, I get excited about it, wouldn't I? And you probably did too. But somewhere shortly after that, guess what? I find myself not wanting to get up to go to work. I find myself dreading the thought of the work. I find myself dreading the idea of the same old every week, every week. And you say, well, now, Brother Randy, you're a pastor and you've been doing this a long time and you got to have passion for that. No. I know some preachers that are just as passionless and they're going through the motions. Lord help me, I don't want to be that. I want to exhibit the fire and the passion because I love the Scriptures. I love teaching the Scriptures. I love preaching it to you. I love worshiping and praising God and I want to be passionate. But sometimes it gets sapped. Sometimes I get distracted, and sometimes my dedication gets questioned. Why am I doing this? Have you ever been there? To be dedicated to our calling and ministry, we are to be engaged in means that put time and effort into whatever it is that God called us to do. God calls us, He enables us, but we have to make ourselves available. And we have to make ourselves say, I can't wait to see what God has got for me. A lack of dedication is the curse of the modern church. Too often we offer God what is left of our time and our talents and our hope, and then we just hope that He accepts them as a noble sacrifice. Whatever's left over is what we give Him. We believe that God is calling this church to do something very special and unique things in this community. Let me tell you something. This community is dying, but it gives us some great opportunities for God to work in some miraculous ways in the lives of people simply because of this community. And we have a unique opportunity here because God opens doors for us to minister. And we can't start a ministry and then just say, well, you know, I'm tired. It doesn't work like that. It's not what He expects. This church, even if it was to grow to a point where it was necessary to have paid staff all the way around, you know, the youth directors, the whole works, the effectiveness of this church will not be built around paid servants. It'll be built around men and women who are sold out to God and serving Him and serving others. It is the unpaid servants who live out their daily calling and dedication to God through serving others. There's a lot of ministries to be done, but to be honest with you, I'd rather not be attempted than to be done in a sloppy, undisciplined, and careless manner. What we do, we need to do well. It's not haphazard. If you teach a class, be dedicated to the class and prepare to give your best to the work. If you're going to work with children and young people, you'll have to realize that you're not doing it for me, you're not doing it for some other staff member of this church, you're doing it for God, and you ought to give Him your best. The bottom line is this: if we're Christ followers, if we're following Christ, we will serve Him passionately and be dedicated to the calling that He has given us. Gone will be the idea of the last minute preparation and the shoddy work that's done. Gone will be the idea that it's just for the church, and so I'll just do enough to get by. And as we move to what God is calling us to be as a church, there'll be those who haven't made the journey and maybe won't make the journey. It'll be hard. It'll be too hard for them. It'll take too much time. It'll take too much effort. That's the reason why there's a lot of folks who are going to bigger churches so they don't have to do anything. They just show up and they go home. What ministry do they have there? What is it that God is calling them to do they're trying to hide from? Healthy churches are filled with people who have a mind to work. We'll work till the day comes, till He returns. Like Elisha, we'll experience a sense of destiny. And in my point, in my thought process this morning, I think this is the most important one. Elisha had a sense of destiny. He was watching Elijah, and he wanted God to use him just like He was using Elijah. He saw the big picture. He got it. He knew that God was calling him to something that was far beyond what he could imagine, and he did. Elisha ended up doing a whole bunch of stuff. God wanted him to do something that's bigger than what he was currently doing. And to be passionate about your mission and ministry, you must have a sense of destiny that God is calling you to be a part of. What is it that God wants for me? What part do I play in this sense? I know it's something bigger. I know it's something greater. But what part is it? And I look forward to that. I can see the big picture. Look, if you look in this community and all you see is a dead and broken community, that's all it's ever going to be. But when you look out and you see what God can do through this church to this community, guess what? Things change. Your vision changes about what this church is and who you're supposed to be. We are to reach out. And I almost hesitate to do this. But then I say, can you envision what God, if He's working with passionate people who are reaching out to community, peace, souls are being saved, the church, people are being baptized, the church is growing and stronger, and we're reaching out to people all over the community. How many lives can be touched simply because we were passionate enough and thought enough, far enough in the future to see, wonder what God is going to do next? You see, Elisha was ministering in the shadow of Elijah. He was doing it because of the sense of destiny that God placed with him. You know, you can talk. I've had the opportunity to talk to some minor league baseball players in my life. And they take the long bus rides to play in small cities across America. They sense a calling to a larger destiny. What is their larger destiny? Play in the big leagues. That's their whole purpose. They wouldn't put up with any of that if it wasn't for the hope of one day playing in the big leagues. And they'll sacrifice anything for that. Talk to the guys who are riding the benches on professional sports teams all the country. And they'll tell you they're just working just as hard as the guys who get all the press. They're working. Why? Because they want, they understand, they think one day my ship will come in. One day I will be the starter. One day I will be able to do this. And I want you to look again at what the scripture that we read today. It said Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" Elisha could have left. Three times he had the opportunity to leave because he could have been harmed. But he didn't. Elijah was not very nice all the time to Elisha. What we find is that it would have been easy for Elisha to leave. And he didn't. And so here he is at the end. He takes his cloak. Elijah takes his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water. The water divides. They walk across it. And he says, "Before I leave, what is it that I can do for you?" He knew God. He says, "Elijah," and he said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." He says, "You've asked a hard thing." He knew God. He called him, and he knew God. He knew he needed more of God than ever to fulfill that. Do you realize that this is just recorded miracles that Elisha did? Double the miracles recorded than Elijah did. Elisha knew that he needed more to be able to accomplish more. You see, serving God is not a picnic or a walk in the park. It's hard work. And it takes a sense of destiny. You know, I have found that the things that I do in life sometimes are very repetitive. Maybe you too. I have this big project, and I'm sitting there going, it seems overwhelming, but what I'll take it and I'll do a part of it and I'll say, I am 1/32nd away from finishing. I am 1/8 away from finishing. I'm halfway there. Why do I play games like that? Because that way it helps me realize that there is an end. and what's at the end. There is an end. This life is not going to drone on and on forever. There will be an end. There is something God wants for you in your life today. A purpose, a destiny, something that, man, bigger than what you are today and what you're doing today. And if you knew what that was, if you could see it, you could become passionate about it, not can't hardly wait till we get there. There are people today, right now, that are counting down the days to Christmas. Passionate about it. Can't wait. What about what we're counting down for? Every day we draw breath is closer to the day the Lord's coming back or He takes us home. Are we passionate about that? And in between, do we realize what kind of purpose that He has for us? Are we passionate about it? Or are we grudgingly going through whatever it is He wants that He's doing in our lives? What God is calling us to do is to keep the fire of our passion burning for Him. We are a spiritual people. We have to start acting like spiritual people. And when we truly believe and understand that before we ask Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life, that before that happened, we were going to hell. But by the grace of God, He sent His Son to die for us and has invited us to extend to us the gift of everlasting salvation provided through Jesus Christ. And that we have an opportunity to share that with others while we are here. How can you not get excited about that? Too often, the statement will be made, Jesus saves. And people go, yeah, He does. No, Jesus saves. And He's still doing that today. He did it for you. I hope He did. He did it for you. He'll do it for others. And there's no situation in life that Jesus cannot deal with and save from. We've got to start having a passionate commitment. Consuming fire that burns in our bellies about the work of God. It doesn't mean you spend every waking moment thinking and acting for the Lord. What it means is that we take that commitment and we apply it everywhere we're at, everything that we do. An opportunity comes up and you say, you know what? This would be a great opportunity to witness to somebody. It'd be a great opportunity to share the Lord with somebody. It'd be a great opportunity to invite somebody to church. It'd be a great opportunity to sing praise to God so that others can know how much we love Him. And He wants to turn that passion into ministry, which will give us a sense of destiny as we serve Him. He wants our dedication. It's the bane of our churches today. And it plays itself out every single Sunday. The hit and miss coming. I'll miss a few. I'll come. The hit and miss of I've went to church and then I'm going to live this way during the rest of the week. It's the hit and miss of, yes, I love God's Word, but never open it and read it. It's going to take more than just your pastor doing that, because I struggle with that myself. It's going to take all of us to develop that passion, to see the big picture about what God can do through a passionate people, through a committed people, with a sense of destiny in their lives. And I hope you got that this morning, because it's more than just coming to church and playing church. It's about being spiritual, spiritually committed, spiritually passionate about what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know what God has for you this morning, but I will say this. God wants us to quit going through the motions. He said, "Brother Andy, I just don't know how. It's just everything." First thing you do is you come and get your relationship with Jesus Christ right. Right now, you may be running from Him or for salvation, or you could be running to Him because you don't have the full time to devote to ministry and service. Whatever it is, it starts first with your relationship with Him. You know, I may not have all the answers as far as here's the step one, step two, step three, but I know step one. And step one is getting your heart and your life right with Him. And He will direct your path in order to develop that passion and once again in your heart and your life. It's not God's fault. It's not your preacher's fault. It's not your church member's fault. If you're not passionate about your would you? As we sing this morning, would you come and get your heart and your life right with Him and try to be the passionate